Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky seek to answer a question. How is Cabernet treated differently between California and France? Well, to find that out, from California, they drink the Dry Creek Cabernet. And from Bordeaux in France, they drink the Chateau Aurag from Graves. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening. It is so good to be here. I've missed you guys.
I know. I've missed me too.
But how did you miss you?
I don't know. I have a split personality disorder. Strange.
Did you miss Wilfred?
The
Derns have been on vacation.
We have.
And I missed them. I miss Bicky. Bicky. I miss Bicky, and I miss the doggy.
Oh, Bobo. You could have come over, seen Bobo. Yeah. You chose to be apart from Bo, and he knows this. So, but you brought him a treat, so that he knows that, too.
Did you?
Yes, he always gets treats.
Also on the show tonight is the Triple B.
Good evening, everyone.
On tonight's show, you heard on the open what we're doing tonight. We're going to have a discussion. We have two wines in front of us, and we're going to discuss how Cabernet is treated from France to California. To do that, we have two different wines, one obviously from France and one from California. So the Californian, we'll start off with that. We go to Dry Creek Valley for that.
Old friend.
And specifically, the Dry Creek Cabernet. See, I wanted two that were of better quality, right? And of similar price. And then from France, we go to Bordeaux, naturally, when we go to Graves, or Graves. It's actually Graves in the United States, G-R-A-V-E-S.
Well,
so why do you try Graves. To say it with a...
Because in France, they say Graves.
And since it is from France, we should probably pronounce it
correctly.
Appropriately.
Trust.
It's Graves.
And it's left bank, so it's more cab than anything. And it's Chateau Aura. Okay, Aura is spelled H-A-U-R-A, which could also be Oura, but... They're older. Yeah. And they're both predominantly Cabernet. Now, with the Aura, the French, it's, depending on the vintage, I believe this vintage, from what I saw, is 70% Cabernet, 30% Merlot. The Dry Creek Cabernet is 79% Cabernet, 12% Merlot, 5% Malbec, 2% Cab Franc, 2% Petit Verdot.
Interesting.
Both are 13.5% alcohol, which for the Dry Creek, I think that's very impressive.
I'm a little surprised by that.
For California, but I'm pleased by it, too. And for oaking, the Aura is 12 months French oak, and the Dry Creek is 19 months French oak. No American oak included in either one of these wines. So they're as similar as you can get without going to a Cabernet-specific French wine, which we didn't want to do.
No.
And you can get things with a little bit more... Cabernet, however, on left bank, when you're doing that, that means you're sneaking up into like St. Julien and St. Estefi, and that's not around $20, which is what both of these are circa day around that. I think the whereas anywhere you can see it anywhere from 18 to 25. I saw for $49.99 online. If somebody would like to pay me that, I have another bottle of it. I'll sell it to you for $42. And the Dry Creek is anywhere. It doesn't matter. I'll drive it.
He's bounding down.
Yes, right.
Rob's loaded up in truck.
It'll fit in the glove box. And the Dry Creek is anywhere from 24 to 32, depending on where you buy it. But we bought it. Scott bought it at $24.99.
Yep. So what?
Avondale Village Wines, shout out.
What was your thoughts on why we are comparing these two?
First of all, it gives us an excuse to drink Cabernet. That's always a nice thing. Mm-hmm. It also gives us an excuse to drink French, Bordeaux.
Yeah.
But it also is a nice... these have always been good, enjoyable episodes where we're actually sitting
enjoyable
down...
Enjoyable to do or enjoyable to listen to?
We hope both.
Yes.
The reason why I'm asking this question is because Rob wants to drink two bottles of wine.
No, I don't
That's
want to.
That's what this is.
That's what art...
Scott, what do you think?
It's art.
I'm just wondering if there's going to be a third.
Second episode?
I don't know. It depends on how good the first two are. Maybe three, yes, because there is a P-O-R-T. Anyway. Yes. The purpose.
See right through it.
You see nothing. I'm too fast for you.
Are you suggesting that he's transparent?
No, because I'm not.
Well,
you know.
No, depends.
The basis of this is
how, it a competition or just a comparison?
It's always a competition, but it really is just a comparison. We'll give, obviously, the scores like we normally do.
And I do have one more question.
Okay.
Why didn't you feel like the Dry Creek cab could stand on its own episode?
And I knew you'd ask that.
And what's the answer?
Well, you'll find out later.
Here, on the mic.
I think he mentioned it in passing, but you know, we anticipate the Groves to be good, and we are. I've never had the Dry Creek cab.
Really?
Mm-mm.
I've had it on several occasions.
We love Dry Creek. We love the Zin, and I particularly love the Fumé Blanc.
Rob's such a Fumé Blanc fan. I love their...
I'm not a Fumé Blanc fan. It's fine.
You do.
Do they
do a soft blanc or a Fumé?
It's a Fumé.
Which is Sauvignon Blanc.
I know. I just said. I thought that was Ferrari Carano's wording.
It's not just them.
No.
Yeah. Mondavi does a Fumé Blanc.
Mondavi does a very good Fumé Blanc, by the way.
It has to do with the style of...
Yes.
It's limited aging of it?
I don't know.
But
Fumé.
He's such a snob.
There was a time where Dry Creek Fumé Blanc was probably the bottle that I'd had the most of white wine. Mm. Probably not even close. It may still be there.
Wow.
I love it. Yeah. And particularly for the price point. It's probably like $12.99 now.
By the way, Fumé Blanc is just Sauvignon Blanc, but it denotes that it's aged in some sort of oak.
I thought that it had to do somehow it's produced.
Well, in the thing is that there are oaked Sauvignon Blancs that they don't title Fumé Blanc. Fumé Blanc is a bit of a name that has fallen by the wayside because who gives a shit?
It's mimicking French style production, so it's probably French oaked if you're going to be proper about labeling Fumé Blanc.
We're not drinking Fumé Blanc tonight, so
I think. But back to the cab.
Back to the cab and back to reality. How did you like
life.
That? I know. So tonight we're going to try to determine what the differences are between California and France, other than, you know, a few thousand miles.
Other than oaking. And the ocean.
The oaking is similar except for the term, and the alcohol level is similar. Well, it's exactly the same.
It's going to be so interesting and challenging for me because I don't know. I just anticipate very much loving the Dry Creek cab and not liking the other one. And then I feel like I'm going to get tripped up, and then I'm going to be all in my head, and it's going to... I'm just...
You know what's beautiful about this?
This was not
deep
nice.
Breaths. Deep breaths.
I know which is which for Becky.
Of course you do.
Don't...
And I put a tag on it that denotes Bordeaux, but does it for you?
I thought it denoted B, A and B.
B is as in Bordeaux is what he's saying.
I get you.
Oh, I'm so disappointed it's not a blind test.
But he's
Would
also
you like it to be?
But he also yeah. you missed this. He also said did
Are
he
Are these the same glasses?
Yes.
Rebecca, he's also saying that is the B in your glass really Bordeaux? He's being a jagoff.
I treated you guys to the blind tasting for The Prisoner. I didn't feel like I should do that two shows in a row. No.
I wish you had. I thought this was just an A and a B.
Mm-hmm. No, but we're embracing the knowledge that one is Cali and one is Bordeaux.
Maybe you'll have to overcome your prejudices.
You do have some wine prejudices.
And
we all do.
I can keep them because I know what I'm drinking.
And in fairness, the Huera
you don't
has more
acclaim
than the Dry Creek. So
you don't have to keep them. You can let them go.
Mm. You can.
What? Dry Creek was a winery of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Second season?
I feel like
it was. For us?
Yeah.
Yes.
Was it?
I think
I don't know about that.
I do?
Yes.
No. Yes.
No.
I think so.
No.
I think so.
Who did you think gave it Winery of the Year? Like Wine Enthusiast? Is that what you thought I was talking
about?
Well,
I knew it was, if anybody would be the Wine Enthusiast, yeah. It wasn't the decanter. No, no.
When you said that, you were the like, decanter. And I knew that you weren't tracking.
Chateau and Cock and Balls. It season, got our Wine of season, the Year.
I believe.
I think
we
was
need
early.
To, where's, you know.
Maybe it did. I don't remember.
If a freaking superstar hadn't sexually what? Harassed our intern,
yeah.
we would have this data.
Well, that's true.
My recollection is Ravenswood season one.
Maybe.
Dry Creek season two. That's my recollection.
Well, I know, but you don't remember Tuesday of last week. So.
You have done so much more with the episodes that your recollection is better than mine. Pretty sure Ravenswood was season one. Mm. Dry Creek was season
I'm
two.
I'm shocked that you don't know.
I could go back and listen. I know which episode it would be. I will.
Okay.
As soon as we get back. Here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Dry Creek Cabernet and from Dry Creek, actually, and the Chateau Hora from Graves in Bordeaux.
How many times do you think I'm going to call it Dry Creek's Inn?
It's just a slip of the tongue. Probably over under for you. Two.
Oh,
over under for me.
Once.
Over under for me. One. Oh. I could do it too.
Well,
when folks are not doing.
Do you think you're gonna mess it up?
What? No.
He won't.
No, I don't.
He just won't mention it by name now.
No, I won't. Now there is a review for the Dry Creek Cabernet.
Okay.
That's right. Oh, this is Wilfred Wong, and I did review this wine. By the way, it was the only one, Scott. Did you know that? I reviewed it. I'm the only one that reviewed this year. The vintage.
You're the first person to ever describe yourself as saying, he's the only one.
You know, they people call me vintage. Did you know that?
No, that's not what they mean.
What do they mean?
It's
they said, we wish you'd expire. Your vintage would expire. And I'm like, well. I don't know what that means. They're wishing me ill, I think. But
dead.
Oh, I can't die. I'm a zombie.
I think you're already dead.
Man, I might be. All my organs have been harvested by random Czechoslovakians. But nevertheless, I gave this wine 90 of my points, which is really it's just suggest the wine is quality. And I said commentary. The 2018 Dry Creek Vineyard Dry Creek Valley Cabernet, that was like most of my review right there, exhibits the elegance of this AVA. Okay. Tasting notes.
That's it.
That's
all. That's your commentary.
That's all I could say.
The elegance of the AVA.
And the label is white, but I didn't write that down. They edited that out. Anyway, tasting notes. This wine offers aromas and flavors of black cherry, dried herbs, and oak. Pair it with lightly spiced roast chicken, because you do that with Cabernet normally.
Not normally.
You're finished with this part of the show.
Yes. You know what I did before I drank this wine, Scott?
What'd you do before you drank this wine?
I ate a whole bag of cinnamon candy. It was delicious. Then I drank the wine. I even had one of the cinnamon candies in my mouth while I drank the wine. Have you ever done that, Scott?
I try to not consume cinnamon candies.
One time I put a Mentos in a wine. It was great. It was a bottle of Petrus. Had a tasty.
Why
were you getting
cinnamon candy?
What were you getting ready to do, Wolf? I've never done cinnamon candy. I never liked it.
What?
Grandparents' house, Brock's candies.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, they taste like ass.
Cinnamon candy
I love
one
those.
Time. Like, what were the little mini cinnamon candies in a box?
Yeah. Like the, man. My grandma used to decorate cupcakes and stuff with them. They were little.
Not Red Hots. But they were the same maker as Red Hots. And Red Hots were just a cinnamon candy.
I love Red Hots. My favorite car candy is Hot Tamales.
So, yeah. So, back to the question. I love cinnamon. I love using it as a spice. I think it's underused, particularly fresh grated cinnamon. Ooh. Fantastic. Same thing with fresh grated nutmeg. Cinnamon candies, not so much. Root beer, hard candies, root beer.
What? Yep.
Oh, yeah, root beer. Yeah, root beer barrels. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The old school ones.
You like those?
Not the sugary ones.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I love root beer. Root beer is good.
Root beers are good. Yeah, those are good.
Butterscotch, not so much.
How did I not know that about
you? Lollipops, the best ones.
Buttercream, no.
Root beer. I like root beer dum-dums. I always like those.
I can give you that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It might be better than this wine. Now.
My first grade teacher always had cinnamon discs in her mouth. And when we were growing up, we always, when we like played school, we always put those cinnamon discs in our mouth to be like her.
Okay. Sure.
That's like something my mom would get for us to play teacher.
Okay. Anyway, the Chateau Aura, it has reviews too. Yes, it does. This is a southern man. I know, Becky. Lord. It's like an all-star.
What you need to do from now on is start the episode.
I do.
Do your voices.
What?
And then come and wake me up, and I'll come down and do the rest of the show.
No, because...
Wake me up before you go low, Rob, don't... Never mind.
You're very good at this, Scott. Anyway, the wine enthusiast, they gave it 91 of their points.
Oh.
Yes, they wrote, still very dry and closed up. This hand-picked wine holds promise in its weight. Why are you...
Who are you?
I'm a southern man.
What's the real...
What's that? I'm just a normal southern man. I'm not trying to be anybody.
So it's
what?
It's closed up. So this wine's similar to your cultural awareness.
Very much so. I'm not interested in all those. Never mind. I can't say that on the air. But you and I, Scott, have had many philosophical discussions in agreement with one another.
No.
That's right. So dark tannins dominate, masking hints of black fruits and rich berries. The wine, produced by Dennis and Frater, who fucking needs time, so wait until 2022. Roger Voss wrote that.
Is that why you waited until now?
No.
You just purchased this recently.
No. I bought this at Total Wine.
Interesting.
Total Wine, which one?
Myrtle, I think.
Oh, when you were on for 4 days.
Yes. So you've had this for a red hot second.
Yeah.
And then did you wait until 2022 based on that review?
No, I never knew that review existed until I Googled it.
California versus France.
Yeah. Well, it also got a 90 from Parker.
What?
Yeah. And an 88 from the Wine Enthusiast. Are or you Wine Spectator.
Reviews or no?
I don't have the Parker in front of me, but I do have the
Spectator's not, that's not very enthusiastic on their part.
What was it?
An 88. It's not bad for the price.
Why did you call that guy the Southern Man?
Because he sounds like he's from the South.
Based off of what?
Based off stereotypes of Southern men.
It's just another stereotypical character.
I'm sorry.
Southern Man.
Becky is insulted because she comes from the South.
It's the northern part of the South.
Very much the northern part of the South.
Yeah.
It's not a Southern accent. It's a hillbilly accent.
Which I would say this is a southern hillbilly. Have you been to Arkansas recently? No, you have not. So, and this is the way they talk. So who the fuck goes to Arkansas anyway?
Actually, Paige and I were discussing Arkansas today.
Why?
What? Yes.
I named 4 cities in Arkansas.
Oh, that's so great.
Can you believe that?
No.
Are you trying to name 4?
I think
not really.
I think we need to redetermine what a city actually is. Little Rock.
Yeah.
Little Rock.
Oh my gosh, I can name 5.
Little Rock.
I can name 5 cities in Arkansas.
But fuck Bayou, that's
Stop.
One.
Stop.
No, it's not.
You want me to name them?
Maybe I mispronounced it. Sure.
Little Rock.
Okay.
Rogers. Bentonville. Fayetteville. And Hot Springs.
Why would you know those places? I know there's a big Walmart.
Where Walmart is from.
There's a big Walmart.
Yes.
Yeah. 5. I named 5 cities in Arkansas.
Why is that not shocking?
The only thing that came to my mind was Texarkana, and I'm not even sure that's in Arkansas.
I think there's a Texarkana, Arkansas, and Texas.
Yeah, I think
I'd rather.
Because I think that Rick's dad lives in both Texarkanas. He has a house in both.
Okay. Why Texarkana is not a state, just in case you didn't know that.
He has it's one a state in each of mind. State is what I'm telling you.
Okay. And he has one in Texas, and he has one in Arkansas. I'm That's how that works. Anyway. It's Tim Atkins here. But that's okay. I'm just popping in just to say hello. Anyway, the Wine Spectator, they gave it 88 of their points, and they said tangy, featuring a mix of pomegranate and bitter plum notes, laced with light bramble and tobacco hints, reveals a sanguine echo on the finished drink now through 2025. Originally, they gave it 89 to 92, then they downgraded to 88 because they're dickheads. So
it's interesting. So they did a bottle taste.
Yeah, they're always high on that. Scored it. They did that a lot with the 18s. They gave them 93s, 92s. Then they're, no, it's an 88. Oops, we're sorry. So.
Fun facts. California versus France.
Oh, God. Yes. Very briefly.
Right. Did you know that 80% of all U.S. wine is produced in California?
Yes, I did know that.
So we're talking Cab.
Yes.
Contrast and compared Cali versus France. It's a climate that's similar to the Mediterranean.
Okay.
In the regions producing Cab, which are predominantly the most famous regions, Napa and Sonoma, which you're typically going to see or expect to see from California wines from these regions, black fruit, cedar,
okay.
A dusty minerality, and tobacco-laced tannins. Rob.
Yeah.
Dusty minerality.
Dusty minerality.
Who coined the phrase Rutherford dust?
No, I'm just kidding.
And our listeners would think that you did.
Mm-hmm. Who was
I don't know. Maybe the founder of BV?
That's it.
Okay, there we go.
So it's actually the winemaker's name, Andre Chelischev.
Okay, Chelischev, yeah.
He was discussing the 1936 vintage. He said it's a whiff of clean dirt with a high tone note, something like pencil shavings. Andre was the chief winemaker from 1938 to 1973. He coined the phrase Rutherford dust.
Are you surprised that I knew that?
No, this was really good. BV. I was going to give you BV as a hint.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know his name.
Well, there's still stuff about him on their website.
I don't read their website.
Why?
Because I'm not weird like that.
Well, go ahead. French to California comparison.
Okay.
Rutherford is considered to be the Pauillac.
Pauillac, yeah.
Of California.
There you go.
Janice Robinson.
I like Pauillac quite a bit.
Wine Folly. She said, California, expect to see blackberry, black cherry, cedar, baking spices, green peppercorn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, green.
Napa, in the valley floor, you'll see more expressions of black cherry and smoother tannins. From the hillside, you'll see more acidity, blackberry, and much more rustic tannins.
Mm-hmm.
Quick question.
Mm.
Becky.
Yes.
You go first. Who grows more grapes, Napa or Sonoma? Rob. Who grows more grapes, Napa or Sonoma?
Sonoma. You said Napa. Who's right?
Sonoma.
Boom. No, I was actually going to say Napa or Sonoma because I didn't quite.
The question was Napa or Sonoma. I was restating the question.
He was talking out loud. But Sonoma kind of came to his lips, so that's what we're going with, what his answer was. It's Sonoma.
Yeah.
Napa has. Becky. For California wines, 20% of the money producing. So you go by dollars of sold wine, 20% of all of California made from less than 5% of the volume grapes grown.
Bo just hit his head on the
Yeah.
Well, I think he was hitting his head because he was tired of listening to us talk and he wants us to drink. So.
No, I want to hear the question.
So again, back to the comparison.
Mm-hmm.
France to Cali. Do you know, Rob, that numerous vintages of mid-20th century Napa, predominantly Beaulieu and Inglenook, aged beautifully for 50 years?
Yes, the old, yeah.
Yes.
Inglenook is not a name you hear that often. It's still out there. They still produce wine.
I think they're Dry Creek. Could be Rutherford. Rutherford. I think, but I...
Inglenook is Rutherford.
I'm going to pose the question. Also posed by James Robinson. I'm going to kind of throw some quotes out there. How will the super ripe, super alcoholic, fashionably produced, prolonged hang time cabs, how will they last in the bottle? What are we talking about here? the Screaming Eagles, all those things that are producing that because of the longer hanging, they're going to be more ripe, if not overripe. How are they going to age? Time will tell.
Yeah, not to that level.
It's in
unlikely.
It's in vogue. Now, here's another thought, and this is posed in multiple sources, including Zraley, Janice Robinson. Will the prolonged hang time quash or squash or minimize some of the wonderful notes, including the Rutherford Dust? Again, only time will tell. Mm. But it's kind of hard to argue that that style, that super fruity prolonged hang time, the mineral notes are less prevalent.
Well, you'll find a less subtlety. They're going for big, powerful punch in the face. And once that subsides, you've lost possibly some of those nuances because of the techniques you're using. And what's left over?
Including the Rutherford Dust and other expressions of minerality.
Top tip, folks, don't waste your money on high-end cult wines. Buy French instead. So,
we're not done yet.
Yeah, sure.
No.
Okay.
Napa, Rutherford, you're going to expect greater structure.
Okay.
Greater backbone. Greater longevity in the bottle, in general, compared to its California brethren. France.
Oh, my God.
What are we talking about with cabs? Bordeaux.
When did you do this?
Bordeaux.
I just told you like an hour and a half ago what we were doing. What?
Rob, is there anywhere else in France that they grow cab? No, not really.
Yes.
Sorry, not really.
Yes, they do.
They grow it, but it's not really known for the region.
Well, that's fine, but you said, do they really grow it anyplace
else?
That's why I said, they do.
Not really.
They do, though. Other places. I mean, should they? That's debatable. Although I've had some nice things from the Med.
But not really.
Well, what's it's not
Bordeaux.
Really?
When you're talking about cab in France, you're talking about Bordeaux.
Okay.
The value-priced cabs are Bordeaux Superieur. It's a designation, or some might call it an appellation. Those will have savory flavors expressing granite, black currant, black cherry, and cigar. The tannins are going to be softer and not overpowering at all. Now, if you're talking about the real home run hitter in France, what's the region we're talking about? Medoc, i.e. the left bank of Bordeaux. We're going to have much more earthy fruit, grippy tannins. We're going to expect to see black currant, brambly blackberry, anise, and smoke. Rob.
Mm.
What river is the left bank west of?
Start with an L.
Give it to me, Becky. Give me a boop, boop, boop.
I don't know.
The Garonne.
Oh, that's right.
Question for you both.
Okay.
How many million cases of wine are produced in Bordeaux? Current data 2020 from Zraley.
7.
200 million. 75 million, 100 million, or 50 million cases.
Did you say 2,200 million?
That would be
200 million, 75 million, 100 million, or 50 million.
I don't know. Is there another one?
There's
150.
No, that wasn't a choice. There's a 50.
50.
275, 150. Where are you going with?
Yes. I don't know. 275.
Rob's getting sad because he hasn't heard his own self speak.
No,
He's having to play a game and he has no clue.
This isn't
about
a game. You said it was fun facts.
There's questions.
Oh, it is fun facts.
These are fun facts.
I quit.
How do you think we feel every time we bust down Provicon?
Aha! But I tell you ahead of time.
No, you don't.
Well, no, you there don't. You go. 75 is correct. 68 million of which is red.
Such a good job.
I don't even listen. What?
Rob, quick question for you. Bordeaux is second in production by volume in France. What region produces the most grapes and the most wine?
Rhone.
Languedoc-Roussillon.
Well, that's pretty close, yeah. Well, because I can see that, because there's a lot of different things.
Last question. Just some quick thought, a little bit out of the box for us.
Last question.
What do Medoc and Cali share regarding geographic similarities for growing cab?
Well, hillside slope. That's one thing, because of the riverside.
Actually, what I was looking for is proximity to the ocean.
Well, that too, yeah.
You know, and
you can't.
what's
got it wrong.
Well, he didn't. That's one thing, though. They both have hillsides. Yeah, they do. Yeah, it slopes down, so you have right bank, left bank, and kind of goes down into the river basin.
Boop, boop, boop.
That's factual. Yeah.
It's
a shitty way you put a question.
It is a when we're thinking geography, mm-hmm. we're thinking more broad stroke than a hillside.
Right. Okay.
That would be more topography.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, and to expand on that similarity,
I'm loving this.
You know, the ocean side has protections in Cali that are mm-hmm. slightly different. France, it's flatter land and it's forest protected. Most of Medoc is protected by forest from the ocean, from the salty ocean breeze, and it provides protection. Similarly, the river gives protection, but in a different way. Mm-hmm. Controlling temperature and potentially lessening the impact of frost.
Kind of creating those like microclimates mm-hmm. for...
Yeah. And that's what it's all about. But
I have to send Janice Robinson a thank you.
When you actually look at the map and compare Left Bank to the Cali regions of growing wine, there are some similarities. It's interesting.
Well, yeah, that's one reason why they can grow similar varietals. They have similar climate. Okay. And that's kind of soil. I mean, soil, but I mean, you're going to have different nuances from different soil that you grow in. But nevertheless, yeah, the climates mirror one another. I mean, in Ohio, other than the parasitic soils, the climate sometimes in certain areas emulate Germany. But
more
that's what
less.
The Finger Lakes is.
That's what
more
the Finger Lakes
less.
Are. Yeah.
Great. So,
fun
everything
facts.
Everything I've said to Rob lately, he said more or less.
Too. More or less, yeah.
Allegedly.
Uh-huh, sure. Okay.
Sonoma or Napa? Sonoma. I was just talking out loud.
I wasn't even listening to what you're saying. So, the Dry Creek Cabernet and the Huayra. So, we'll start off. We'll start off
my
with the Dry Creek.
Asleep.
Yeah, well, it should be. My brain is asleep.
Did we do our scores of integrity, folks?
No.
No.
Pop them down. No, pop them down.
Rob's so mad because he's been down here for an hour and hasn't drank a drink.
I am almost having withdrawals of alcohol, so.
It's sad.
I know. There's Scott not writing them down and
drinking.
Did mine at the appropriate time earlier in the show. I was just reminding you guys to play along.
We do need some theme music for Scores of Integrity.
That's true.
Three Stooges theme.
That's the theme song. There you go. You like that?
You do better with the Apple app.
That's right.
You know, interesting to look at these in the glass.
William write you a song.
What's that?
You could have William write a song. You're going to have to do something.
He could open.
I'm going to throw you off a cliff.
He could open Rage a rap.
Well, you made up like four different songs on our road trip. Rob thought they were real songs.
I didn't know what the hell they were. They were all were singing it, and they're like, now's when I come in. And there's like a full song. It wasn't a good song, but
yeah,
it was
but
a full
it had
song.
Like some beatboxing in it.
It did, and but there's magic in the air.
William is also six listeners.
There's magic in my underwear.
Oh, Lord.
So I thought that was.
Oh, my God.
What? Oh, Bo's humping something. Hey, Bo, there ain't nothing wrong with a little bump and grind.
Stop.
Just give that pillow some honey love.
You know, just when you thought. The show could not go further downhill.
I know. Yeah. Oh, my God.
There's dog humping.
What's happening?
Well, he just was like...
He's not a person.
So,
are you recording at least through the microphones?
Yes, I am.
So, if you...
Son of a...
These... In the glass, these are almost the exact same
color,
density.
Right,
the,
color,
you
yeah.
couldn't be more of a exact a comparison.
Done? Yes.
The Home Depot can't match paint colors this good.
On the nose, the... Dry Creek is a little more expressive in its berry.
Is that what we're drinking first?
Sure.
Dry Creek Cab.
But the Huayra expresses a little bit more minerality, as you'd expect.
What?
Minerality. I vomited in my mouth when I was saying minerality, okay? What, you got a problem with that? I swallowed the vomit, so don't worry about it.
Disgusting.
I know.
It's and
Bo, stop it!
Get it, Bo.
And significantly less...
Do you need,
fruit.
Do you need a cigarette,
nose.
Bo? Sit your freaky, perverted ass down.
If you said...
I can smell the cedar and the tobacco strongly
oh, yeah.
on
oh, yeah.
the Dry Creek.
Mm-hmm.
It, and
what?
If,
no. That's that. Maybe that's the Bordeaux.
Did you switch mine?
Who knows? Only I know.
Okay, the one without a tag is cedar and tobacco. Mm. tell me for real if you did, because I don't want to be taking my notes wrong.
Mm. That is a juicy blackberry on the dry creek, I think.
I think if you took these two glasses and they weren't marked and you knew one was French and one was Cali,
you would pick them out.
You would pick them out easily. And Becky, what I'm judging that on mint. Is just
on
the
Huera.
And
she doesn't know which one she's got.
You know, in general, mint is one of the things listed by Wine Folly under Cab Sauv.
That's true. So, I'm going to go in on the Dry Creek. Here we go. Nice thing about the Dry Creek, it has a pleasing mouthfeel. Every vintage I have ever had does. Nice cherry with even maybe a little bit of currant backing that up. The oak is prevalent through the mid palate and it kind of expands through the finish.
It's a little bit compressed for me. It's from the front palate to the start of the finish. It's really... It's
the oak grips onto it a little bit.
It's just a little, this is a little tight. I think it could use, honestly, a little more time.
I don't know, because it has fleshiness. I mean, often when we're
Did
talking
about... Did you switch mine? For real?
Just roll with it. No. No, I did not. I wouldn't
because
ever do
the
that.
One that I have that is marked Dry Creek's in is not cherry. To me, I don't taste the cherry.
It's Cabernet. Let me smell.
Now he's doubting himself, folks.
No, I'm just, you know. You want me to smell that one?
Did you switch them?
No, I wouldn't do that.
First of all, yes, you would. Now he's doubting himself, folks.
See?
What a dick. He switched the glasses.
I swear he did. I
got no fucking idea. Does it smell like mine?
Because what I wrote down was full-bodied, long, tannic tobacco. Did you switch them?
Smell it, Scott. I didn't, but no, that's the Dry Creek. Yeah, that's a Dry Creek.
It's just the nose. This is
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Okay, because
I like your Dry Creek better than my Dry Creek,
like,
though.
It's like
I don't taste the cherry, like, and I normally am very sensitive to cherry.
I like starts the episode by being open and transparent, saying she's got concerns about not having, you know, preconceived notions about the Bordeaux. And Rob starts off by, "How do you know the one marked Bordeaux is Bordeaux?"
Well,
and then
me.
When she challenges him,
why is
he goes, "I don't know."
So
let's
switch.
What are you saying is harsher?
The finish on mine.
Mm. I like the finish. Mm. I like this wine. In fact, no, Scott, the finish this time, it is chewier on the finish as it goes extends.
It's really long. Mm-hmm. Take a drink out of my cup.
I did earlier.
Another drink.
It's the same wine. It's not like I gave you a dirty glass.
Take a drink.
Let me remember what I was saying was compressed was the beginning of the wine to the start of the finish. The finish is not compressed. The finish is long by any terms, even if it's slightly, I wouldn't say it's out of balance just because it's got a lengthier finish, but the front part of the wine is compressed. I don't mind that because you've got good components there. There's a, is it cedar? I don't know, but there's definitely a nice expression there.
What I like, it has a baker's chocolate and big tannin.
Just chewy. That
doesn't it taste different?
I love the balance between the tannin and the oak.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. This is surprise. Dry Creek knows what they're doing.
Wouldn't you drink this with chicken?
Fucking what an idiot. He is an idiot, isn't he? What the fuck, man? You're not going to eat this with roast chicken.
I mean,
no. Does he know what chicken tastes like?
Well, if Okay, so
it's those cinnamons I eat all the time, you know? I'm just there.
We like to take a package of thighs and bake them, low temperature. And you can do different things with them. Onion,
chicken
lemon.
Thighs?
I like lemon, chicken thighs.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Jesus Christ, Wilfred. Wilfred wrong, ladies and gentlemen.
No. I'm not trying to tell what I do.
But I could see this wine with that dish. Now, would I pick that as a pairing? Nah, baby, nah.
By the way, I sent you guys tonight a email of two different wine dinners. One at Petroncelli, which looks marvelous. And then Boo Boo J. Gilbert's is having another wine dinner. You see that? It's Mare Soleil. And so the first course is watermelon salad, right? And they...
You mock that, but grilled roasted watermelon is actually a nice component.
First of all,
it's salad.
Not grilled, but... They pair that with a watermelon margarita. So there you go.
For a Mare Soleil tasting.
Yes. Second course. It's like scallops and something else. And they pair that with the unoaked, you know, the
unoaked Chardonnay.
Yeah. And then it's a beef carpaccio that they pair with the Mare Soleil Reserve.
I
which
don't
is
know what you
an
did
oak
all
Chardonnay.
Day except send us emails and sign me up for Wine Enthusiast again.
We did a brief phone conversation.
Every time you want to look at a review, you have to put an email address.
And I can say he was tapping in the background. Although he could have been drafting emails about
and you,
wine
and tasting. You were sending me videos of your crotch for some reason.
That was
from home.
And you looked at me like, oh.
That was from home.
I'm FaceTiming you. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at my penis. I better hang up.
I was in the middle of domestic bliss.
Oh, I didn't hear that, but I just saw your crotch.
It was wonderful.
I didn't hear anything like that. I just thought you were being a total weirdo.
I'm a total weirdo.
Okay. But.
No, so what's the wrap-up to that weird dinner?
That's it. It ends there. That's it. That's all I got. They forgot they have a Pinot.
They forgot to have an entree?
That is their entree. It's small plates, Scott. You understand. It's small plates. It's only $45 a person. I want my money back, and I didn't even pay them.
Watermelon
margarita.
What the fuck, man?
Well, you know, you have a Pinot. There you go. Two Chardonnays and the Pinot.
That's just a bar tab and a night before theater for half of Columbus.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's not a wine dinner. It's pre-theater.
Watermelon margarita, baby. That's what I'm saying. It's so trashy.
Who fucking finishes with beef carpaccio? You start with that.
And you know, there...
That makes me angry.
It's a small plate, so it's probably like a slice of beef carpaccio. Mm-hmm. With a thimble of Mare Soleil.
Did they serve it frozen like we had that one night?
Yeah.
A little like side of salmonella poison.
Hey, at least it's not Freak Show this time.
So, Becky, what would you pair this with?
Ooh.
Do you have a thought? Did you have a thought?
Ribeye.
Is your name Becky?
Should be. Becky with the good hair.
At least he didn't call you Bicky like I did.
Here's your thunder. I took it and I put it in my pocket.
Don't let him distract you. He's a bad man.
A ribeye. Until Rob and I started dating, his favorite was a New York strip.
Maybe it will be again.
What's that supposed to mean?
Maybe I'll start eating strips again. I'll be unfaithful by eating New York strips.
Is that what you're saying would pair with this, a strip?
I would just say, I think a big steak would be great. I like the cedar in this a lot.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure it's full on cedar.
Sometimes, yeah.
But it's there somewhere like that, right?
Yeah, I think it's good. Mm-hmm. I was trying to see... To me, the nose had some tobacco notes. I don't know if I necessarily get there on the palate.
I'm with you. I didn't either.
I was looking for it. But I didn't see
so it's funny because my meal pairing, when Rob was talking about stuff, I just thought, in general, this would go with any steak, kind of, which is mm-hmm. what you said. It's just like, what steak wouldn't this go with? It's such a classic. You know who should serve this? Mm. Everybody.
Well, yeah, if you're serving steak.
If you're a restaurant and you have beef of some type, steak variety on the menu, this is what you should.
I believe the Avenue's had this glass pour before, too.
Oh, I could. That would not surprise me at all. That would be a great glass pour.
But it's like, why doesn't a Texas Roadhouse, it was one of those chain steak places, why don't they have this as their premium red pour?
Why, so they can serve it at 82 degrees?
I'm just saying.
I know, but it's not that expensive.
And well, it's and but they could, at they could that establishment, $12. They could charge 15.
Yep.
And make this their premium glass, right?
Yep. I'm imagining, I just like had a vision of sitting at the bar somewhere, you know, like you're traveling or something and you're eating a steak dinner and you're by yourself, but then you have this and you're like not sad anymore.
No shit, you right? So, yeah. You're in a, you're in an airport, you're traveling and you go, what the fuck do I want? I got a 3-hour layover and you look behind the bar and there's Dry Creek Zen.
Yeah.
And you go,
cab.
Dry Creek cab.
It's the cab. No, if we see Dry Creek in a red bottle, we're going to think it's a Zen. Sure. Well, and then when we see it's a cab, we go, hell yeah, I want a glass of that.
Yeah. Well, can't you see that? Like, I can picture that in my mind being like, I'm stuck in this airport, and then you're like, okay.
Well, it's an adult comfort food. It's an adult comfort.
It totally is.
It's like, oh, a kid would like a milkshake. An adult would like a glass of Dry Creek cab.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I've always felt that way about it. I've always liked it. It doesn't necessarily get 95s from everybody, but who gives a shit?
Yeah.
It is Californian, but it's well-structured. It's balanced. It's tannic. It's what you want from a Cabernet from California. If you're feeling, I would like something French tonight, this wouldn't probably fit that bill, but it's one of these things that there's so many wines that people drink that we wonder why they don't just drink this.
Yeah. There's a word that's overused, especially surrounding fall, cozy. Oh, sure. But when you said comfort food, this is like a comfort wine. Like if you had had a bad day, if you know, anything like that, you could have this and I think it would lift your mood.
And if you don't like to spend more than $20, but you want to try something that's worth the extra money, this is that wine. And you should be able to find it regularly. If you've got a decent sized wine market, you'll be able to find it somewhere.
Yeah. I put it in the same guise of, not quite as good as Ferrari Carano, but it's the same thing with Ferrari Carano Cabernets. They are delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Are they wildly complex? No, but they are really solidly made and done. Yeah. This actually has some complexity, though. I mean, it has different layers. We haven't really gotten into that yet. But
it's got some different structure about it.
Yeah.
A nice length. I'm going to use the term compressed, but it's got stuff going on. Nice nose.
Yep.
It's what you'd expect from California. A little more fruit forward, but not this sugar. It doesn't taste of a sugar bomb.
Because I'm not getting a lot of fruit forward like you all are. Well, but I'm also more sensitive to cedar and tobacco, so maybe that's like overpowering it a little bit.
I wouldn't call it fruit forward either.
Applying it to the contrast between French and Cali, this is going to be more fruit forward.
Well, I'd say it's Cali appropriate, but it's not something where it's not a like a Leviathan cherry bomb or something like that.
But you've got hints of the black cherry. Definitely the savory fruit. I love the savory fruit in this.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're
currant.
The currant right there.
With the blackberry.
Yep.
It's a wonderful combination. And it's stylistically, it's California and you know it. But
the tannins are nice.
Not to beat a drum, but I'm going to beat a drum. Dry Creek, the consistency, the quality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They do a hell of a job.
I'm 90% sure we gave it a winery of the year early on.
Yeah, you might be right.
It's
might be.
I don't.
You too.
I'm not going to argue. Maybe. But yeah, this is one of those wines that always is consistent. It doesn't really matter with the vintage either, because I've had different vintages, probably like 3 or 4 different of the Cabernets. Always been similar to this, but always good.
Yeah.
And that's a really important thing. Hey, all you prisoner drinkers out there. No, people that are paying twice the price.
Right. Yes.
Try things like this. Drink things like this because it's better. And it's a good value. I mean, that's the other thing. It's a good value. You bought it at 24. That's really about where it is in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get Napa for that anymore unless it's some weirdo, jank-ass variety. What are you going to get? Oberon? You're not going to buy that. I mean,
this is why people drink cab.
Yeah, and it's reasonable. And it's from a legit area in Sonoma. Maybe not synonymous exactly with Cabernet, but It makes good Cabernet. You know what?
Sonoma makes good Cabernet.
No. Dry Creek within Sonoma. It's more synonymous with Zin than it is Cab.
100%.
There are good Cabs. The Pedroncelli is really good, and it's a Dry Creek Cab, too. Really good. Like this.
This is a wine that cab drinkers who maybe spend more money will appreciate.
Yeah. This is one of those things that if you're really well to do and you drink things that are expensive, this is a bottle that you can have back and you can have it whenever you feel like it and not feel too bad about it. You know, anybody can do that. This can be a special occasion wine for you, or it could be, hey, if you're taking a bottle of wine to a house,
you can't beat this.
No.
And let's say you're of modest means, but you have friends that are more well off, and they're the people that bring a Camus or even a Stag's Leap. This is something you can bring, have pride in the quality of it,
yep,
and not feel like I'm intimidated by what I brought versus what somebody else brought. And I'll be honest with you, this has merit just as much as Camus does.
Yeah.
It's just not $90. Is it as drinkable?
Yes.
I'll give you that it's
better.
Not.
It's better than Camus.
I'll give you that Camus is tastier. I'll give you that. Camus is fucking tasty. They know what they're doing.
This Joe Wagner. You better believe that Camus is more delicious than that wine. You know how much raspberry and strawberry and the blackberry preserves we dump in that damn wine? Basically, that shit is just jelly.
Joe Wagner does not have the Southern man.
You don't.
Twang.
This, first of all, this is not the Southern man. And Joe Wagner is a common man that drives a truck.
I don't know what's
a 1978 Chevrolet Silverado that's rusted. That's what I drive.
Your throat's rusted.
I have to because my wife took everything when she divorced my ass. So that's all I got left. I sleep in the truck too.
Dry Creek.
I'm really desperate. Could you give me a dollar, Scott?
Yes, Rob. You're desperate.
Okay. So. Anyway, folks, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back to drink the Chateau Huara.
Here, on the wine box.
I love it.
Perfect. We'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So it's the Chateau Juarez turn here.
Not Juarez. This isn't a small area in Mexico.
Ora, whatever you want to call it.
Rob might be having a little phlegm thing in his throat. Something's going on.
It's true. Could be diphtheria, perhaps. I don't know.
Bo's over here licking his lips. I don't know what that means.
I've been giving him little bits and pieces of cheese.
Oh, it was freaking me out.
So as we said, the wine looked very much like the Dry Creek, which we love, in the glass. On the nose, more mint, closed. Yes.
You didn't finish your glass of Dry Creek?
I'm not done.
He had a refill.
Yeah, I had a refill.
You had a refill?
I sure did. I was saving the rest of it.
I think that's important to note. I had
saving all the wine for me.
Scott finished his glass.
Yeah, but we don't know how the Huera or Aura is going to taste. Aura.
Okay. I'm ready to go now.
Here we go.
So on the nose.
Mint. A little menthol.
Yeah,
you going to smell it, Scott?
I feel like there's cherry in there.
Yeah.
Cherry and mint. It's kind of a...
It's got his abstain.
It's a soft nose. I did my nose evaluation earlier. You know, this is sat for some period of time.
Evaluation.
Would you say like mint, like an herbal mint, or would you say like a menthol-y mint?
I would say both.
I don't think it's that mentholated alcohol.
No. That is, though, in the background, but I am saying the herbal mint, okay. And then there is a little bit of mentholated alcohol.
It's peppermint, wintergreen, that it's mint. It's not
mentholated alcohol. I see it separated off a little bit. And I accidentally rubbed it in my eye, and I got a little minty fresh in my
subtle
eye.
Nose.
I was just thinking about herbal mint and how lovely that can be.
It can, mm-hmm. it can be nice. Mm-hmm. It can be mm-hmm. nice. I agree. Concur.
I had a drink when we went out to eat downtown Columbus.
I had a dream.
It was a strawberry mint, but it was like a light strawberry.
Mint with fruit is brilliant. I don't care what
watermelon margarita?
It was Pimm's.
Pimm's cocktails are brilliant. Pimm's and mint is brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It wasn't sweet. It was just like a light strawberry. It was very nice.
I like a Pimm's cup. I like Pimm's with a... So you can go 50-50 Pimm's gin, 50-50 Pimm's vodka with a garnish of fruit, a garnish of mint. Love it. Club soda.
Yeah. Oh. That's very similar to what this was. Was it gin? I can't remember.
Local bartender would make his own. It was Chris's Pimm's cup. It was fucking fantastic. Now, my first note of this was a strong acidity that I didn't expect, so it caught me off guard. So I'm going to come back in, and I hope it just caught me off guard.
I'm not going to call this acidic. I mean, there always is just a little bit of a nuance of acidity in Bordeaux. Varying degrees depending from wine to wine, but I enjoy a lot of the aspects of the fruit character here is minimal, but it's still very, very spot on for Bordeaux. The tobacco on the mid palate is really what I'm enjoying here. Nice, huh?
So the first contrast, you have to go with the front palate. And it's the contrast of fruit is markedly different.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit is present in the French. It tends, in my opinion, to express itself a little more in an aged Bordeaux. This is, this is a 16. It's just always subtler, softer fruit.
Well, it depends. First of all, if you get a low end or lower end, quite frankly, Merlot based Bordeaux wine, and Castilla de...
Tell me how much this was again.
Around 20.
Okay.
Like Castillon, some of those, and some of the satellites. Those can have a blackberry element. Those can be a little bit more ripe and juicy. But you go left bank and it's Cabernet. Surprisingly,
the fruit's softer.
The fruit is, I wouldn't call it softer. I'd say it's less of an emphasis.
And that's emphasis.
Yes. Yes.
And hence the California discussion of it being fruit forward. Even though when I said fruit forward, I was using it for comparison purposes. Rob said, well, it's not as fruit forward as many caps. Fact. But yet this Dry Creek is significantly more fruit forward
than this
Bordeaux, which is exactly what we expect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you tasted it right off the bat, you would say yes. If you were schooled, you would say this is Bordeaux by far. And that is a California Cabernet, or at least an American Cabernet.
And
from the West Coast.
It's probably as close a comparison as we can realistically make, keeping it in a price range and not taking 20 years to find an exact blend. Because it's...
No, you can't.
It's not as much Merlot, but it's got a significant Merlot content, and it's similar
Dry Creek
cab
one
content.
Reason why I did this comparison tonight as opposed to other cabs that we have in the wine vault is Dry Creek does like to get into the 70% range with their primary grape. I almost vomited again.
What's wrong with you?
I just I'm enjoying life. So the aura is in the high 60s to low 70s range, which is as close as you're going to get, like Scott said. Now, the Dry Creek then brings in the other traditional Bordeaux varietals where Aura does not do that, but that's okay.
But it's not out of place either.
No,
are we comparing apples to apples? It's like... We're inside the apple variety, but it's not the same exact species.
Also, with Bordeaux, you don't see most Bordeaux. There are some, but for the most part, Bordeaux do not say, well, there's a palette of six grapes that we can go with. let's blend all six. They don't do that. It's two, maybe three. That's typically what you're going to see. You're going to see Cab Merlot, Cab Franc, Cab Merlot, and not even much Malbec.
Left bank, it's going to be those three predominantly.
Yeah,
where on the right bank, you might see five or six varietals, but it's still going to be predominantly Merlot and Cab,
but
just reverse order.
The problem with they have, like Petit Verdot, it ripens at different times than the other grapes. So you see a little bit less of that. That's one reason why you don't see a full gamut of the Bordeaux varieties, because they don't like to try to match up the ripening times with them. Cab Merlot, yes, those things coincide. Cab Franc, they can blend that pretty well too, based upon when it ripens. But the Petit Verdot, I mean, but Petit Verdot, I know, is the violet or that, but that's also one that is very, very good for depth and color. It would be great to taste really like a Bordeaux version of Petit Verdot, but it just is almost as rare as hen's tooth. You don't see it.
What would it be? It would be interesting
to do. They stop planting it. That's the thing. They get away from, even though these are, there's a multitude of some of the different, the traditional Bordeaux blends, they get away from some of the varietals that just can't be utilized based upon just nature. So they stop planting them. They pull them up. They put in more Cab Franc. They put in more Merlot. They put in more Cab or Sauvignon Blanc. Whatever the hell they want to grow. Because that, and then you see things slowly get out of vogue and become extinct because they're just not grown there anymore because they're difficult. So
you're difficult.
Oh, true.
Becky wants to make you extinct.
Addition to the tasting notes that I have.
Yes.
That have not been mentioned.
Ooh.
I do feel like sometimes when you drink a not bottom barrel French or Italian wine, there is something that I can't exactly put my finger on besides saying something general like mouthfeel, but it has like just a European mouthfeel to it. And
are you talking about the body or?
No, it's something in maybe the texture of it that just feels very European to me. And I think often you can pick it out. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but to me it just has a very European mouthfeel. I feel like I could pick that out just based on the mouthfeel alone. Maybe not get to Italy, but know that it is European.
For me, what helps with that is I'm generally thinking lighter bodied. So it's not a light bodied, but it's not a full bodied wine. The other thing is just the difference in the tannins. And I think that body and tannin combination is what makes this European feel to me.
That we didn't talk about the tannins, which I think are a star of the show. But there is also, right before the finish, there's a black tea element.
Bingo, bingo. Beautiful.
Yeah. And it's very nice.
And it's from the tea, a little bit of astringency as well.
And
from the Merlot.
I think that's probably one of the biggest contrast of the two wines.
Yeah.
This has more Merlot, and I think the style of wine, because it's that French style, that European style that Becky described, the Merlot's astringency shines through a little more.
Yeah.
Well, even though it's not
a
predominant
smooth drinking wine.
I love the combination of astringency and how good Merlot smooths out a blend.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah. Although Calibrate Merlot is not a smooth drinking wine. Yeah. But
I
didn't think about the Merlot element being the, because it is a very,
yeah,
it's in a weird way, it's almost like a cooling thing in a wine. I don't know how to describe
Interesting call.
A cooling sensation.
Not
cooling that way. Calming.
Yeah.
Oh,
in
fair.
A
wine.
Fair.
Yeah.
But so I loved how you pulled out the black tea and I immediately went, yeah, that's fucking there.
Mm-hmm.
So, here's another comparison of the Cali. I think the Cali components and the different features tend to be a little more obvious, isn't the right word, but they're generally right there in your face.
Ostentatious is a negative word, but they're not shy about saying, bam-ba-da, here's fruit. Bam-ba-da, here is oak. Bam-ba-da, here is tannin. Where France says, bam-ba-da, here's the wine.
And
here's the mosaic.
Yet,
it almost tastes like it's not an individual part. You're like, well, I like the oak elm. No. France presents it as a painting. You look at the painting. You don't say, well, I don't like that little tree over there. No, you look at the whole mosaic. It's a mosaic. And so Aura tastes like Aura.
Or just Bordeaux in general, I think, is a fair statement on how you're describing this.
You almost look at it. You look at it as a whole as opposed to its individual parts, where you might say, I like the front palette of so-and-so, but then the mid palette gets a little bit hollow, and then the finish is all wrong. Or, yeah, I wish it had more of a front palette to balance out the mid and the finish. You don't give that criticism to French wine necessarily.
It just doesn't feel that way.
Because it doesn't need that, because it presents itself in a different way. It's almost hard to quantify. You can't even like give that in a review. You can't say, well, you get an extra point because you're a mosaic as opposed to, you know, in individual parts. But maybe that's just because they know what they're doing more so than in a way. I don't know.
I think there's something when you have 200 and 300-year-old vines.
These are 22-year-old vines. But.
That give you that in general. But what this style of wine is for me is that beauty of Becky calling out the black tea, and immediately I got it. It was there the whole time, but it was so subtle. But as soon as you draw attention to it, it's right in your face. Where Cali, there's a certain subtlety to the way that was fruit forward. Yes, when you compare it to the France and the fruit of the Dry Creek, it's in your face. But in that style, the fruit forwardness of the Dry Creek, you had a kiss of the cherry, you had the blackberry, but you also had this wonderful savory black currant that are all expressing themselves in this short glimpse of time. Yes, they're bigger, but they happen so quick in their own way. They're subtle because they fly by you so quickly. Mm. And yet this is longer and more open in every aspect. And it's, I guess I would call it more naked and exposed, but it took some thought. And who's the non-Bordeaux drinker in the crowd? Rebecca. Who picked out the black tea? Rebecca. So I give you kudos. At the beginning of the episode, you said, I don't want to have my normal prejudices against this, and you picked out the black tea.
Well
done.
Well, with this, though...
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
but it's like...
Yeah, it's...
Well, this isn't a funky European wine.
Well, Bordeaux's, they shouldn't be funky. They might have a minerality aspect, but... I mean,
was looking for that. I don't see a lot of minerality in this.
Well, it has a little more than, say, something from California, but that's not really the point of the wine, right?
But there's not, like, a
it's the expression. It's the expression of the tobacco is this thing where the terroir comes in, where it could be minerality, but it's
your leafy,
a little bit of
herbal,
tobacco.
You know, towards that. It's not like red meat, beef, ish, like a Languedoc might be.
Also, like, when I was drinking it, I was like, is there slate? Is there rock bed? I couldn't find any of it.
And that's more Pinot.
You didn't miss it. It's just not, that type minerality is not there. That type is not there, but the tobacco's subtle, but the black tea is even more subtle.
Well,
I think it's right there together, and black tea can be that expression instead of minerality.
Maybe we misstate in the fact that we say minerality. In reality, what we're talking about is a more herb-laden wine. Mm. Yes, there can be a bit of minerality in a Cabernet-driven wine.
I mean, when I say minerality, though, I mean something of the earth.
Yes, yes. You mean something a little more pronounced, more maybe even a little more funky, a little more raw.
No, I mean something from the earth. Well, it could be soil.
Herb is from the earth.
Right, but I don't mean... What did you say?
He was going down a different path talking about the herbal floral.
It's more that grows out of the earth than the dirt, the ground level of the earth.
Yeah,
It's not necessarily slaty.
Ground and down. You mean ground and up.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Or things that are on hooves. I mean that's more.
Oh, really?
That's more barnyard.
You would count barnyard as minerality?
It's no, not minerality. But
he was
more
talking
of
about the animal that he wanted to.
If we're throwing minerality,
shoot hooves with.
If we're talking, I'm throwing
You've
minerality in the same.
Lately?
Could be an imperfect.
What? What did you say?
I'm putting minerality in the same bucket that of earthiness.
I think he said quit being inappropriate.
Go.
You wouldn't know about inappropriate. First of all, I've never laid down with the ox or the beast.
Okay.
That's
okay.
In the Bible,
stop.
Scott.
Stop.
Have you read that?
About the ox and the beast in the Bible?
Or something like that. Yeah, don't fuck animals is what it says in the Bible.
I'm pretty sure that's not what it says.
That's the only thing stopping me, by the way.
As much as I hate to interrupt this.
I can't imagine.
I get turned down all the time.
I did what want to say.
Turned down like a bed.
Kudos to Rob.
Thank
which
you.
I also don't want to say. But I really have especially. Appreciated this comparison of two similar-ish wines, but the style, the origin of them, very different. I feel like this was a very unique drinking evening.
Well, thank you.
Welcome.
Let's go around the table, and let's start with one person doing one of the wines. Go around the table to the third person who does both wines, and we back up around the table.
What?
I don't understand.
Nobody understands. What the fuck?
Rob... What's your score for the Dry Creek?
Oh, you all scores. Is that what you're doing?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Let me drink the Dry Creek again because I just have to. And by the way, folks, we are going to do that as soon as we come back here on the Wine Bowl. Back, folks. So the reviews tonight. I'm first, Scott, for the Dry
Only
Creek.
One. Dry Creek. That sounds like
just
a great
one.
Place to start.
Just one. I'm going to drink it again.
You said that before we went off air.
I know. I'm going to drink it a third time.
Oh, Jesus.
Are you on a refill?
88 of my points.
What?
I love the fruit. I love the balance of the wine. 88 to 90, I'm going to say my score is low, partly because I just drank the Huara, and it's not fair. It is hard to drink the two back-to-back because this is a very strong, strong wine from California. If you give it a 9, something with a 9 on the low side, that's fine. That is a personal preference.
Amend your score. Go ahead and amend your score. You need to. Go ahead.
86.
No, amend your score. Give it the proper score.
82? 81. Wait, 88 is my score.
88
is the score. Well, I think that I've had many wines of this quality. Every wine that I've had of this quality, I have provided 88 of my points.
Becky?
88 is a tasty
score,
by the
way. No, I'm going next, but give him a boop, boop, boop. 89 is the wrong score. 88 is the wrong score. It's a 90.
That's your choice.
The Dry Creek, I love it. You're at 90 also. Let's bounce back and forth. I love the combination of the three fruits. Subtle black cherry or cherry, blackberry. And one of my favorite components of the wine is the savory blackcurrant.
For me, it's your the thing. Length and the tannins. Mm-hmm. But the reason why it gets a 90 for me is because we spent quite a length of time talking about the emotion that this wine evoked in us.
Okay.
We didn't spend a second talking about the emotion we got from the other wine.
Why do you think that is?
I was emoting on the inside.
No, stop. Why do you think that is? Did it give you an emotional response?
It didn't give me emotional response.
Me neither.
We also
really
all
liked it.
Drained our glasses.
I really liked the Chateau Aura.
Oh yeah, for
but
sure.
I did not have that emotional response. It did not.
If
it did not make me feel
this,
something.
Yeah, like we said, think about this. When we talked about if you were at an airport layover and you had this, it would lift your spirits.
True.
The other one
we
would
do have
not.
An attachment to Dry Creek.
But we were pretty
we
drunk
do.
By the time
fair.
We got to the oil. So there's that.
Okay, but
I wasn't.
So
I'm not the one refilling my glass.
I'm thirsty.
You mentioned the tannins and the oaking. There was that mid palate, that chocolate, and Tobacco.
Rob doesn't even know. But I
he think doesn't remember.
For me,
no,
maybe,
no, I remember. It's lovely.
Like the, if I was giving a technical score, I would maybe be like an 89.
You are giving a technical score.
But I am giving it a bonus point because of the emotional response.
What is that?
Boom.
I often give points for emotional responses.
So let's come back
your
on the...
Your face is bright red.
That's of, from the dry creek.
So don't even talk to us.
Just your foolish.
You're also yeah, don't talk at to least us. On your third or fourth glass of
oh,
wine.
Oh, 18th glass.
Yeah, who's had the most of the bottle? Mr. 88. So, Rebecca, what do you think of the Chateau Delicious. Aura from Graves?
So, I actually gave this a 90 also.
Oh, really?
Cool.
Because, and but the 90 is more of a technical score. The cherry and the mint on the nose were... To me, just felt very elite. I was so impressed by...
You like the nose better the than combo. The nose on the dry creek.
I did. Well, I mean, they're just very different. The yeah. cedar and the yeah. tobacco, I also love. But the conversation about the Merlot kind of like calming the wine, I was really into that idea. That was a big deal for me. The black tea, the tannins, and the finish.
Ooh.
That's where I got to the 90 because of the...
I'm rethinking this.
I know. That's where no, I got but to my 90.
And a lot of this analysis of the wine came from the comments you made. I'm with you. I love the complexity. And I'm actually going to, because of the discussion we just had, you prompted in your score, I'm going to raise this point, but I'm giving it an 89 of my points. Okay. I just... Personal preference, whatever. Maybe it's bias. I prefer the Dry Creek Cab to the Chateau Aura.
I was
going to
have everyone guess, like, say what you would pick if you saw them side by side.
Oh, absolutely the Dry Creek. Now, and the other thing, the Aura sat. Mm-hmm. It's a 16. This has more life to it. I don't think the Aura does. Oh. I wonder what the Dry Creek would
Rob
be in one
years.
More year, 2 years.
Off his chair.
A couple years, yeah. It's I mean, the Aura isn't, the, not all Bordeaux's are 30 or 40 year or ageable wines. This is a 5 to 7. The Dry Creek's going to be fine in another 5 years,
what's
too.
What's your score on?
Oh, the Aura. I provided that 90 of my points. Mm. I am putting both in the Hall of Fame. Well,
no.
Yeah.
Let me say something else.
I didn't ask your opinion.
No, I'm with Rebecca. I'm not sure that's the right thing to do.
I have two more points to make. Number one, I would pick the Dry Creek over the other one as well.
Okay.
The other comment that I will make is we all drained our Dry Creek glasses.
Well,
none of us.
Second.
You
just wait.
It's a good point, but let's not mansplain it to him.
Right.
Because we should let him. We should
lighting
let him finish.
You two
chair.
Are so sexist.
We
Rob
should let him
barely,
finish his review.
Rob is propped up on his chair.
I'm
He's
fine.
Five glasses in.
I am. Yeah.
You are hanging onto the bar.
Well, I've had to listen to you fuckers talk the whole goddamn time.
But I think that is an important point to note.
Let me talk about my...
When we're only talking about... When
the,
we're talking about...
The commercial breaks have been like a 35-minute emotion-a-thon. And what have I had to do?
What?
I've had to drink. You guys have been talking about emotions and cats and balloons.
Cats.
Who the fuck knows you're talking about? And it's been like 35 minutes between one segment to the next. And I just have to fucking sit here and drink. So, of course, I got drunk. Because what else am I supposed to do? But both wines
What
are,
else is
new? No. Finish your review on the French Bordeaux, please.
I did. I gave it 90 of my points.
That's all you got.
None
description.
Personal.
So why?
You guys talk over me. I was going to. She won't
show.
Hey, nobody's interested in what you say.
I thought Rob would give it an 89, but you gave it a 90.
I'm trying to encourage you to finish your review. I know how sensitive you are. Please let our listeners know what you say.
The CH.
Hora.
Give it a 91.
Oh, Hora. Like the Star Trek character.
Dry
Creek. She passed away. Yeah.
I thought 91, 90.
Nobody's listening.
So I was off by a total of 5 points.
She's like totally talking over you.
How much were you off by, Scott?
So why do you think this is a 90, sir?
You
because I think
about Bo and the Pillow more?
Why does she think it's a 90?
I think you've highly overscored it.
Becky scored it the same as me.
I made good comments.
That's true.
I have not had the opportunity to speak.
Well, speak.
First of all, I enjoy the balance of the horror quite a bit. I
think that's good.
Do you mean the blend?
What? No.
What do you mean by balance?
Balance. The fact that it balances, well, minimalistic fruit with oak, with tannin, and length. So overall, it is a complete wine for, obviously, Bordeaux.
Are you putting like a qualifier on it by saying for Bordeaux?
I guess I missed the length on this one. Did you miss the length on this one?
Becky gave it a 92, so shut the fuck up.
A 92.
Now, I said the Dry Creek, I gave
you
it
mean a 90 also.
A 90 to 88, but I was giving it the bottom of the score. I give this also a 90 to 88, but I'm going to the top of the score. Just to fuck with your mind. Your little, tiny little mind.
It doesn't work.
Is it because you have anti-U.S. bias?
Actually, it is kind of that. I just prefer, obviously, the French style of Bordeaux over California Cabernet.
I do too, but not in this example.
No, I mean, this is...
If we had had this episode pre-overturning Roe v. Wade, would you have been more pro-USA?
I'm happy about that.
Shut your mouth.
You're such a dick.
Yeah. Pro-life, baby. Shut the fuck up. Anyway.
I'm just wondering.
Whatever it takes for you two to shut the fuck up, I'll say it.
Well, so
what do I have to say?
I love when Rob gets in this mood because he's so easy to stress.
Why don't you tell me what you think? Blah, 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 blah. Why aren't you blah, blah, blah.
He was thrown off by fun facts.
Your fun facts lasted an hour and a fucking half.
So let's go back around.
He gets upset when he can't talk the whole episode.
So let's let Rob start.
Because I have the most to say.
Can I tell you something else?
Oh, God.
When he
tell it to Rob.
I hate you.
When he listens to this to publish it, he's going to get so pissed.
The fucking fun facts, man. Nobody's going to hear the fun fucking facts.
Not only is he going to get pissed, but he's also going to be like, that episode sucked. I didn't talk at all.
Well, he hates when he's the butt of our jokes.
It's a great episode.
You don't have jokes.
When he doesn't know the answer to the questions in the fun facts segment.
When Becky gets them all right.
You talk like a freaking mongoloid. Nobody can understand what your fucking questions are.
Mongoloid? Mongoloid?
Yeah.
Also.
That's an offensive term.
Yes.
It is.
Before we wrap up the episode, I do want to talk about this ink pen that we have found. It appeared. It's a Bic Philosophy.
You stole it probably from someone.
It was just appeared.
Things don't appear. You steal things.
Anyways, it's a great pen. It's yours?
It's one I brought.
You stole it from Scott.
If anyone's looking for a pen, highly recommend. The blue is great.
It's great. Did you draw a robot tonight?
I didn't. Because I'm going to draw a robot too.
Yeah, you draw robots.
I wrote in print and in cursive, and I appreciated it in both.
One of the things you said you wanted to do, we were going to, at the end after our reviews, which do we recommend?
Oh, Dry Creek All Day.
I drew Becky's name too. So if you just like that. Oh, look, there's numbers and letters on the back of this pad. Go figure. So, yeah.
Oh, Lord. I
is that one of our kids' notebooks?
Apparently
I
so.
Do.
That is like that's a learn how to write your letters notebook.
I had to learn how to write my Y.
Do you see that? It's like an elementary school. It's like a kindergarten.
Are you
using that for wine notes?
I don't know where it came from.
I don't think that's a wine note.
Oh, whoops.
It's great. Oh, my God.
How did it get down here? I don't know. Doesn't matter. It's mine now.
How did... your mind get down here in the gutter.
Mommy, no, I would, this is how you draw a Y?
I honestly would...
I bet that it's from your mom. I would give you $5. I bet it's from all of us.
I honestly would have to recommend both these wines to the listeners. There we go. I would have to. It's not my favorite Bordeaux. It's not my favorite expression of Graves, but it's really good. I think
everybody said that about Aura. It's not my favorite, but it's good.
It's really good, but the Dry Creek,
it's enjoyable.
Maybe it's career achievement or something, but you know when you have Dry Creek, you're going to get it. It's just nice to have expectations, and they get met.
Mm-hmm. True. I mean, I was a little leery. I thought it might be a little bit off this vintage, and it wasn't. It's a delicious drink, and it's Thanksgiving Day feast red wine, and those are all wonderful things. The Aura, though, is a great wine, too. I mean, I gave the Dry Creek an 88, partly because I think that's really where it is. But you guys gave it a 90. I'm happy you did. I'm glad. I didn't feel that it was a 90, but I'm glad you guys did, and I put it in the Hall of Fame. I think it deserves it.
I just think on both these wines, because we weren't the composite wasn't over 90. I just don't think they get there. I think it's a shame.
No, they both get there.
It's fine. Listen, folks.
You know what? You give the Huera a 90. I'll give the Dry Creek a 90.
A composite score of 89.3 is fucking fantastic.
It's good for both these wines because they're reasonably priced. And they're solid wines. They really are, both. I mean, the Huera, you're going to find that if you have a one thing. The actual producer, what is his domain, or Dennis DeYoung, let's just call him that. No, it's Dennis Dubois, or whatever his name is. Dennis Dubois Domains. They have a few different things that you probably have seen. Actually, I have some of their Sauternes.
The Bordeaux, actually.
Chateau Dose, something, something. But I have some Sauternes from them. But if you've ever seen Clos Florentin, it has a sailboat on it.
Oh.
This is something that is pretty much specific to Total Wine, because they have these.
Dry Creek has a sailboat on it.
That's interesting.
But the Florentin also is at Total Wine. But the Sauternes that I own are not. So those are really highly rated. So take that for what it's worth. But the Florentin and the Huera are both kind of Total Wine darlings.
Rob, I had you at a 90. Becca had you at 86 on the French. Callie, Becca had you at 87. Wrong. Rob, I had you at an 88. Bingo, bingo.
Bingo, bingo.
So I'm off by 7 points.
Mm.
What was yours?
I was off by 5.
Winner, winner. Chicken
dinner. On the Dry Creek, I had Becky at an 89, so I'm off by 1. Scott, I had you at an 88, so I'm off by 2.
That's
so
3.
And so then for the Aura, Becky, I had you at an 87, so I'm off by 3. Scott, I had you at an 89, so I'm not off at all.
So Becky, 6. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Becky's at 6. What'd you have, Becky?
I was off by 5.
She was off by 5. You're up by 6. I was up by 7.
Again,
winner,
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 chicken
dinner.
Suck.
Yes. Becky, you know, I'm going to start a new category for this episode. You know, we're missing the superstar. He's in, it seems like, exile. It might be permanent retirement. But so we're going to have a superstar award. And for this evening's episode, the superstar award goes to Rebecca.
I think Steve would have given me that award himself if he were here.
He's here.
He's an ass kisser. Let's point this out. Steve would not award either one of these wines an award because they only have 13.5% alcohol.
I think he would have loved the Dry Creek.
Well, he would love both because they're wet and they have alcohol in them.
Don't
and
think
he's
he'd
a drunk.
I don't think he would like the French.
Oh, he would have drank it. He would have loved it.
He's not as much a drunk as we are now.
Compared
to us now, he's a teetotaler.
That's because of doctor's orders. But Scott doesn't. Steve doesn't listen to doctor's orders. If you just give him like a little bit of a breeze.
No, they figured out how to work it. Like if he doesn't listen to doctor's orders and follow instructions, no more soft tap on the shoulder. Well, you notice his doctor's visits are a lot less. It's command and control. His doctors have figured out how to work him.
And Scott's referring to the fact that he's claiming that Steve's doctors perform certain acts upon him in their appointments.
You were the one that has started this narrative.
First of all, the listeners don't know that, and that's all false.
No,
I would never
talked about it many
times. Not for years. They don't go back to that far. I mean, that's like 600
not for years?
Episodes ago. No, yeah. And there's no proof of that. I never would say something like that because I am
not
very,
only did
very moral.
You say like that?
I don't make bad
Stevie
jokes like
talked
that.
About
are
it.
Are you immoral? Yes.
His doctors are very attractive men.
If you think so. I mean, you sent me a FaceTime of your crotch tonight, so I don't know what that was all about. And you look at me like, oh, Rob's there, and then you just hang out. That's impersonal.
It was
a
domestic dispute.
There's no, I didn't see that. Mm. I don't know why you dialed me there. I mean, if you were being assaulted, then that's fine. I would have liked to watch that and laugh.
Emotionally.
But, well, you probably deserved it. But that's okay.
True.
Nevertheless, I'm going to award both of these with high distinction. Hall of Fame. That's what it is. Okay. And live with it. Deal with it. Tip of the cap to both wineries, more so the Dry Creek because they have more of a history of having the cap tip towards them. So
cap
tip, whatever.
Just the
tip.
The tip.
I don't know. Are you writing your name again?
I already did.
I wrote your name. You want me to do it in block? Because I can do that. So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we're going to bid you adieu. However, we shall see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.